Good day, friends, and welcome to the Hashtag Music Ed Love podcast, brought to you by the Music Education Department at the University of Tennessee at Martin. This episode is called Recruiting and Retaining, Keeping Those Students in Those Seats. We explore identity, program building, and getting your students to join any ensemble. This podcast is designed to advance student-centered music education in Tennessee and beyond through the dissemination of the latest techniques and research in our field. This goal is accomplished by connecting current music educators and music ed majors in the region with the most passionate, innovative, and esteemed music educators in the country. I'm your hostess, Angela Ammerman, Director of Music Ed at UTM, and one of the most music ed obsessed humans you might ever meet. So first, before I jump in, I want to tell you about an exciting season we have coming up. Today marks our second season of the Hashtag Music Ed Love podcast, and I'm so grateful to all of you for tuning in each month or so when we upload a new episode. This year, we have requested some funding and have gotten some to bring in some stellar guests, including Denise Odegaard, Michael Reiber, Alex Derryberry, and a number of others who we are so thrilled. Next week, we have Dr. Michael Chandler coming in to talk to us about the journey of a music educator and to bring in some outstanding interview tips. I hope you'll join us for those upcoming episodes. One additional thing I wanted to let you know is that the way I like to do the podcast is every other episode is me talking about music ed stuff and kind of just sharing with you some things that people have asked me to share and or something that I feel is really important to get out there. The alternating episodes are then experts within our field that we bring in here to UT Martin to actually have a live lecture with our students. So if you hear some student feedback and or notice that it's a different speaker, as it will be every other episode, then now you know how that works. Let's jump into recruiting and retaining students for your program. The research shows that we only actually get 39 to 47% of eligible students to actually join our ensembles at the very beginning. So when you and your string teacher go out and say, guys, we want you to join orchestra, we want you to join band, we want you to join choir, we only end up getting a max of 47% of those students. My question is, if they're not doing our ensembles, what are they doing at that time? And that's a question I really want us to think about, why a student might not partake in a musical ensemble. Of those who actually join, only 4 to 6% stay through to 12th grade. Now, 31 to 39% continue through to the next year. But again, when we're talking about students who continue through 12th grade, we only get about 6% of them. That kills me. So we've got to do something to change. So let's start with the recruiting concert. When you do your recruiting concert, one of the most important things is that you do honest recruiting. I think it's so funny when people say, I'm not going to say a word about practice charts or playing tests in my recruiting concert. Well, if you do that, and you completely avoid those, my concern is that once the school year starts and the students realize you kind of lied to them, I mean, not really, it was a lie by omission, but still, once they realize that there's a lot more to it than what was originally told, many of those students are going to drop out. So instead, talk about how you do those things and talk about the different ways and how it is hard, but it's also really enjoyable. Consider ways to take the shame out of the instrument procurement process. For many students who are on free and reduced lunch, they really don't want to ask for something for free. They're concerned about feeling guilty and owing you something in return. So I find that if you infuse a little bit of comedy into it, that helps quite a bit. So here's a little spiel that I like to do that I think really helps with that. Did you know that your music teacher is actually a superhero? I am not even kidding. See, in the very back of the room, if you open up that cabinet, you will see a cape. Now it's an invisible cape, so actually you might not see it, but there's still a cape there. And so if you go up to your teacher, Ms. Elaine, I really, really, really want to play the violin, but I can't afford it. Ms. Elaine will say to you, no problem. I'm going to get in my Batmobile and I'm going to get you that instrument right away. So Ms. Elaine puts on her cape, whoosh, she closes that cabinet door, you know, cleanliness, and she goes to the Batmobile. Seatbelt on, safety first. And then she drives to the instrument warehouse. Stop sign. She has arrived at the instrument warehouse. This warehouse is lined from floor to ceiling with violins, violas, cellos, basses, clarinets, flutes, tubas, euphoniums, and basses. You know all of the things. And she's going to say, I want 72 violins, 33 violas, 15 cellos, and 70 clarinets. And she's going to get back into her Batmobile. Safety first. She has arrived at your school with your instruments. She's going to pass all of them out to everybody, and you're going to have an amazing school year. See, the thing about doing something like this is that there's so much silliness in there that students no longer are focused on the fear of asking for help or the shame that may be associated, perhaps by the way they were brought up, perhaps by the way other people treat them. And now instead it becomes kind of a funny, silly thing, and it's okay. It's okay. It's acceptable. In fact, we want to ask Ms. Elaine for those instruments. That is really important. And the more you can infuse comedy into your recruiting concert, the more the students will think, oh, this teacher is funny. I'm going to enjoy learning from them. And that is really great. Another thing you might like to do is peer into the future. Think about how you're going to build an identity as a musician. I talk about this all of the time. So even in your recruiting concert, refer to those students as musicians. Refer to the choir as the in-group. And don't just refer to them as the in-group, but also have them dress like they're the in-group. Have them wear t-shirt and jeans instead of being formal. Have them put war paint on as a way to show, hey, listen, classical music can also be super cool. Have your students do mohawks and all kinds of craziness. Trust me, they will love it. Consider having invisible instruments where you tell the elementary students, don't use this with middle school, but where you tell the elementary students to imagine that they've got a violin or viola. Instruct them how to hold that instrument and have them freeze in that way. And then walk around and make sure they're doing it correctly. And say, oh, I see a future concertmaster. I see my future orchestra manager. Ooh, I think you need to be a cellist. Please tell me you'll play the cello. And so that they can see a future in your ensemble. Students really love this, and I found it to be really helpful. One other thing I love to do with elementary students, of course, is a song where they're actually pretending to play these imaginary instruments. So the movements are using imaginary instruments with a wrist out and or elbow up. So wrist out for violins and violas, elbow up for cellos and basses, and an imaginary bow. So I'm just going to sing the song for you really quickly because it's super fun and you're going to love it. Okay, it goes like this. Fiddle faddle on my faddle, what is that you say? If you heard the meaning, then you'd say hip hop hooray. I'll doodle daddle on my faddle, if that's what you want. And then we get our bow set and we go ee, ah, boom, boom, boom. And the reason we do this ugly sound here at the end is because we know that string players at the beginning kind of sound like dying cows, but it's okay. It gets better and better and better. And so we want our students to be aware that perhaps at the beginning, they're not going to sound like the flutist of the New York Philharmonic. Of course they're not. We want them to understand that there's got to be a little bit of bad before the good sometimes. Okay. Don't forget the cool factor. We already talked a little bit about the war paint, about the mohawks, but also consider bringing rock star autograph sheets. Always bring your students to your recruiting concert and see if you can have a sheet where it has their name and a space for an autograph. Now, at the recruiting concert, I only let each student pick one high school student to get an autograph from. Because on the back of that autograph sheet is then also the concert dates for my own high school program or the high school program that those students will eventually feed into. So I will encourage all of the students in the elementary school or the middle school to go ahead and come to all of those concerts so they can get the autographs at the end. They love these autographs. And I will tell you, students have waited forever after a concert just to get an autograph, which is really interesting. Okay, so in 2014, I was just starting my doctorate and was super psyched about doing some research. So I did a little project looking into social identity and why a fourth grader may or may not drop orchestra. So I actually surveyed parents of fifth graders who had completed a year in string class. So of those students, it was really good to see the students that I, or the parents that I surveyed, the majority of students did stay in. And when they stayed in, they said the number one reason that they stayed in was because they felt like they belonged in that class. The second reason was because they liked their teacher. And the third was that they thought they were good at their instrument. Now, the reason I bring all of this up is because these are three hugely important factors into the decision-making process of a student and a parent as to whether or not they're going to continue with that instrument in the future. And we want them to feel like, yes, of course you belong. You have a valid role to play in this classroom, and we need you. And we want the student to say, I love my band director. He's so funny. We always want them to like us. So we have to figure out ways to get them there. And finally, we need our students, all of them, to think that they are good at their instrument. I'm sorry, after fourth grade, there's not going to be a single student that's terrible at it. They're all going to be kind of terrible at it, okay? So we don't ever want to make them feel bad about themselves because maybe they don't play as well. Remember that there are so many different kinds of musicians. We're not just looking for stellar performers. We're also looking for students who value and love music and want to listen to music, students who want to write music. There are so many different ways we can reach these students, but we want them to be in an ensemble so that we can continue to work with them. So again, consider working on that social identity piece, on building a student up as a member of your class, as an important member, making them all think that they're good at the instrument, and making sure, you know, you build that relationship with the students. Okay, so a few things that are factors in teacher likability. One is laughter. Always infuse laughter. Make sure your students are laughing at least once a day in your classroom. Send out positive emails. Make phone calls at home that are positive, where the parent picks up seeing the school's phone number on their caller ID, assuming it's a bad thing, and you say, hey, I just wanted to let you know that Tammy has been amazing in my class. I love having her in class every single day, and I am so grateful for this child. Wow, how important is that? Send home invitations, individually written invitations that say, hey, I want you to come back into my ensemble next year. And maintain high standards. The students know if you're giving them music that is way, way, way too easier for them. They know if you're letting them get by without meeting your standards. So really push them and try to get that high standard. One of the other things that I think is hugely beneficial is building a sense of brand loyalty. Now, we know companies like Nike and Snickers, they have such strong brand loyalty that they don't even need the name of their company on a product anymore. They just need the logo. We want to get our programs to that point as well. When I was at Annandale High School, a student came up with a great label that was like a heartbeat, then the outline of a violin or just a viol-shaped instrument, and then a heartbeat. This logo was so popular that it got to the point that we didn't have to even have our name on our products. Other students would know that this was for the orchestra. Now that's for, you know, a school, our elementary, middle, and high school students. But that's because we were extremely visible. We performed all the time. And when we performed, we always had that logo on our performances. It was on my emails. It was on every piece of communication that went home. And students put it on everywhere. I even had students bring in a necklace that they had made out of it. Really cool. So that brand loyalty will lead to trust, value, and satisfaction. And we want to build all of those things so that our people will stay with us for the long haul. Okay, so I just gave you a few things about what to do where, and I hope this will help you as you build your own program. I know this was a super short episode, but I thought this was a good one to go ahead and share with you. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me at angela.ammerman@gmail.com. Super easy. Or of course, you can just Google me and you'll find me. I hope you all have a wonderful week. and I hope that that you have found this useful. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode, in which Dr. Michael Chandler is here to talk about the journey of the music educator and interviewing skills, and I hope you'll tune in. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes, to hit subscribe so you can get all of our updates, and to like us on Facebook at Music Ed Love, or to follow us on Instagram at Music Ed Love. We hope that this week you'll be able to sprinkle a little stardust on all of your students, uncover the greatness within a few more humans, and send those stars through the stratosphere. Happy musicking, friends!